You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Anybody tell you that I miss practice?
I made my mistakes.
If a coach say I miss practice,
whatever it is, it's not right on the teleprompter.
And y'all hear it, then that's that.
Don't you feel like that creates tension between East and West?
Yeah, I can't read it. There's no words on it.
People have got to know whether or not their president's a crook.
There's no words there.
Well, I'm not a crook.
What does that mean, to play us out?
I mean, I might have missed one practice this year.
What is... I don't know what that means, to play us out. What does that mean?
Not a game. We talking about practice.
Hey, everybody. It's another episode of Same Old Clippers. This is Robert Flom here, along with my good buddy, Lewis Keene. How are you doing, Lewis?
What it do, baby.
Speaking of Mr. What It Do, Kawhi is going to sit out tomorrow's game against the Bucks with load management. Not really a surprise. He sat out the Clippers first back-to-back as well. And it seems like this is going to be a thing during back-to-backs. What do you think about this, both in terms of the long-term effects and the short-term, just in how it looks for him to be sitting nationally televised game against Giannis, who's, you know, that's one of the best matchups in the league?
Well, I think it's kind of funny that we're like preemptively recording a podcast before they lose, because Same Old Clippers only drops when Clippers lose game. But we're doing this on faith. I mean, I'm going tomorrow night. My aunt has season tickets, so I'm sitting with her. This is the one game she treats me to every year. I grew up as an adult in Madison, Wisconsin, so I've always kind of I've had a soft spot for the Bucks ever since then. My first year there was Giannis' rookie year, so this is like a game I circle on the calendar every year. And in the past, I've shelled out a little bit of money to sit in really nice seats. And it's a nationally televised game, like you said. The thing I'm thinking about is, like, you know, this is a pretty good player on player matchup. I mean, it's definitely they're I think the two best players in the NBA.
Yeah.
Apparently the Clippers reached out to the NBA to get approval for this.
Mm-hmm. Which, yeah, I heard about that.
If the league is approving this, then what exactly are they not approving? Like, is that just a thing that they can kind of hold a certain amount of power over the teams? But because, I mean, this is as marquee as individual one-on-one matchups go, in my opinion, certainly more than Kawhi versus LeBron. And Giannis doesn't, I mean, does Giannis have like a one-on-one, you know, nemesis that comes to mind?
Not really.
Jabari Parker, maybe? I mean, he doesn't really, and Kawhi could be that guy.
Yeah.
And now that they're in different conferences and figure to be for the foreseeable future, we're in all likelihood only going to get to see them play twice a year. And if Kawhi sits one of them out, then they really only play one time that year. And, you know, good rivalries in the NBA have existed in opposite conferences.
Mm-hmm.
But you need a little bit of a teaser before the playoffs. Like, let these guys get in each other's grill a little bit.
Yeah.
Not for like narrative, but just for like entertainment. These are the two best players.
Yeah.
It's not like, I'm not saying anything, you know, mind blowing here. I want to see these two guys play. And
mm-hmm.
They're playing Portland the next night. And I don't know if the league doesn't want to come in and say, hey, we'd rather you sit him against Portland.
Right.
And the because the league can't engineer who wins and loses games. But, you know, Kawhi came into the season saying that, you know, he's healthy now. He doesn't expect to miss any time. And I just wrote about this in my newsletter, Unstatable, that he's a dude who wants to play. Like, this mm-hmm. is that's what he's doing this career for. In my opinion, more so than many of the other players in the game. So let the dude play. And I mean, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I think, you know, there are multiple facets to this. I think you pointed out the one which is kind of important, which is the fan perspective, which is that, like, at bottom, the NBA is an entertainment league. You know, Kawhi, Giannis, Bucks, Clippers, two of the best teams in the NBA, two of the potential favorites for the NBA championship. You know, as you said, it only happens twice a year, barring a potential finals meetup, and it could be a teaser for the finals. Like, that's looking way into the future, but it's something that the NBA has to be aware of, you know. And just that not happening is really disappointing. I wrote that in, like, my little news recap on Clips Nation, is just that it's a disappointment for NBA fans. Like, the basketball world was going to be watching Bucks Clippers tomorrow because it's two really good teams. As you said, two of the best players in the NBA. I think for all the Clippers fans talking about Kawhi, I think Giannis is the best player in the NBA. I think Kawhi has a very good argument for number two. And, like, you know, watching those two go up against each other, they play the same position. It's like if Kevin Durant and LeBron James, when they were in different conferences in the early 2010s and they were the two best players in the NBA, like, those matchups were a huge treat. Everybody wanted to watch Thunder Cavs or Thunder Heat or whatnot because it was riveting. And it's the same way with Kawhi Giannis, and it really sucks. Like, I'm going to be watching it anyway because it should still be fun, but, like, the Clippers are probably going to get destroyed because the Bucks are really good. And Giannis is really good. And if the Clippers don't have Kawhi, they're probably not going to beat the Bucks with Giannis. So it kind of takes a lot of the fun out of the matchup. It takes a lot of the excitement out. You know, from the other hand, like, the Raptors just proved, not even 6 months ago, that load management was the right strategy, at least for them. They won the NBA championship. Kawhi was healthy for their playoff run. He was dominant in the postseason. And, like, they looked like geniuses because he played 60 games. Like, he sat out back-to-backs. And even though he was playing, you know, kind of hobbled a little in the playoffs, he was able to soldier through it, and he looked fantastic basically the entire way through. It's a proven strategy with Kawhi Leonard. And, you know, the Clippers have to invest, you know, be careful of their investment in Kawhi, and all their sights are focused on the postseason and winning, like, their first championship. So I get it for them, and it's not up to them to provide entertainment for ESPN. Like, they are not beholden to ESPN or even the NBA's numbers at large, but, you know, I think they will get some pushback for this. And I think the other thing which I mentioned was that it's not like this is a 3-game and 4-night scenario. It's like they've had 2 days off before tomorrow. And then after Thursday, they have 3 days off until their next game. It's not like this is some super tough stretch they're in. It's like a really easy stretch outside of this back-to-back. I don't know. Like, you know, they have advanced data science people. They have sports science people. They know all these things that we don't know, don't have the access to, whatever. But they're going to get pushed back for this, and I don't necessarily disagree with that take. I think it might be the smart and prudent move long-term, which is all that the Clippers are interested in. But in the short-term, it kind of stinks, and it's upsetting because I was going to stay up the entire night to watch that, which means, like, being up to, like, 1:30 on a Wednesday night when I have work and I have to get up at 6:45. But, like, I would do that for Kawhi Giannis, and I'm not going to do that for non-Kawhi Clippers against Giannis, but probably not anyway. So I think those have been basic thoughts on load management.
The other thing is, like, it's not like they have Paul George in there where you're still getting to see a great player. And all indications are that he's going to be back pretty soon. So yeah, I mean, just the selection of which game to sit him just kind of seems like a troll, and it kind of comes off as, like, keeping our cards in the deck and, like, not wanting to, like, let them game plan and practice against Kawhi. But that's, like, total bullshit. play the games.
Yeah.
But there's also, which game it is aside, there is, I think we saw with the Raptors, the benefit of seeing other players on the team get to play early on in the season. And I was thinking about this, I was at practice today, I'm like watching Derek Walton shoot around and guys like that.
My guy.
Yeah. And, if you wait until April, when, where you're starting to rest guys for the playoffs, you wait until April to get these guys their reps. These guys are coming in having not played competitive basketball, like very much at all. And there's, I don't know if there's, statistically demonstrated value of getting these guys run, real games early on in the season against good talent, and just like at game speed. I think there's definitely an intuitive benefit to letting Terrence Mann play real minutes. I think one of the knocks against the Clippers in past years has been not playing these guys very much in their rookie year, second years, and the Clippers really haven't so far. They have not forced the action to get Terrence Mann into games, and this will hopefully allow that. And another team that we're seeing that is forced to play that card is the Atlanta Hawks. So this is probably the big news of the day and maybe of the week for the NBA.
Yeah.
John Collins is an all-star player. I don't think he made the team last year, but he's well on his way this year. It's averaging 20-10 or something like that. But an all-star getting a 25-game suspension, it feels bigger than Ayton, partly because it's number one, or because it's number two, it's the second time it's happened, and partly because
Collins is better than Ayton.
He's a better player, yeah. And he's also he's not getting suspended for using like a diuretic. He's getting suspended for actually using something that's like a banned substance.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a big deal.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's really interesting because there have been rumors around the NBA for like years that PED use is kind of rampant. And I wasn't necessarily, I don't track these things too tightly, but I wasn't necessarily aware that they were stepping up their drug testing program this year. Either they must have done so or they've just stumbled into two people who are doing it. But I mean, Collins getting 25 games, that's a lot. I mean, that's almost a third of the season. That's like a really steep punishment. And, a debate about the merits or demerits of using like performance enhancing drugs and like how to control it and how to stop it or whatnot is like an entire podcast series. But, I think it's interesting that they're going so heavy handed. They're not doing like a warning of like, a 2-game suspension or even a 5-game suspension. It's just like, this guy was caught. He has no prior offense or anything. And he's out 25 games, and like that might cripple the Hawks' playoff chances in the Eastern Conference because Collins, I'd say Young is probably their most important player. Collins is right up there. He's their second best and most important player. And like now they're starting Jabari Parker, who has actually been not bad for them this year, but like still, I mean, he's a huge step down from John Collins, and it's just very interesting that the NBA, which has been kind of light on a lot of things and like notoriously last week did not suspend Ben Simmons for like choking out Karl Anthony Towns, is like dishing out 25 games for like one test of performance enhancing drugs. I just think it's really interesting. And I'm curious to see if like how many more get caught this year. Like if they're willing to do it with John Collins, like are they willing to do it with, just saying, if they're willing to spend John Collins, like, would they be willing to spend LeBron if he got caught with something?
Well, it's not whether they're willing to suspend him. It's whether they're willing to test him.
What happens if the NBA is like, we need to test, we need to test a LeBron? Does LeBron say yes? I mean, I'm guessing LeBron is smart enough to not have anything to hide, but still, that's a fascinating conversation. the NBA coming to LeBron and just being like, we need to test your urine.
Yeah, it's inappropriate to speculate as to who is taking PEDs, but I think we probably both could come up with names.
Dwight Howard.
Speaking of which, what do you think of this new Dwight? I like the new Dwight.
You know what? I never got really the hate for Dwight. I mean, some of his off the court stuff, I guess, he's had some kind of fishy stuff there, but like, you know, on the court, he was one of the best players in the NBA for like half a decade, you know, the most dominant big man of his era. And like, it's cool to see him back out there, like looking like he's in shape and that he gives a shit. I don't know. It's been fun. Like, he's probably the most fun player on this Lakers team, which says a lot more about the Lakers team than it does Dwight. But like, watching him own the Bulls tonight, I saw a little bit of that was kind of fun. I don't know how long it will last, but you know, I'm along for the ride. Dwight having a renaissance season is kind of a fun twist this NBA season. I'm with it.
Yeah, I'm with it too. And I think the fun thing with Dwight is I really don't think he deserved, like, he just didn't fit in the NBA ultimately. I mean, a lot of it was his own, like, inability to adjust.
Yeah.
A lot of it was injury, and a lot of it was just personality. He's just kind of like a
weird dude.
Yeah. And so, you know, fitting in here, you know, getting to redeem himself to like a fan base. Laker fans love him. And I appreciate that about Laker fans, that they actually do support their guys a fair amount. They'll hate on their coaches and their GM, but they have undying belief that their players that their players are way better than other people think they are. Like, I think that's actually kind of nice. It's, you know, it's better than the other way.
Yeah. Everybody's super cynical now, and everybody's very quick to dump on their own players. I mean, they have their jokes about KCP, which is honestly kind of unfounded. I mean, KCP is like a very, you know, adequate NBA rotation player, but you know, outside of that, like, they really get behind their guys. And yeah, I mean, you got to respect it. Like, they ride or die with Alex Caruso and, like, you know,
Shannon Brown.
Yeah. Oh my God.
There have been guys over the years that just get this, like, if a point guard can dunk, they're just like, they'll believe in that person forever. It's because they've been like raised on Derek Fisher, and just like, anyone who can do more than that athletically is like the second coming.
Which doesn't take much. Like, you know, you get guys in the rec gym who can do more than Derek Fisher athletically.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I mean, I don't know. The Lakers look pretty good, look a little scary. I mean, the Clippers don't have Paul George yet, and they're still 5-2. So it's very early. But the Lakers look better than I thought. You know, props to them. I think Vogel's done a good job. Again, not hard to be an upgrade over, like, the, you know, Luke Walton.
Yeah. Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, I think they definitely look like the Clippers' biggest threat in the Western Conference right now. The Rockets, Nuggets, and Jazz have all looked kind of shaky. Those were the other three teams people thought would be up there this year. And yeah, I don't know. Like, NBA has been really interesting. It's been a fun couple weeks. I've been really enjoying. I've been watching like probably two games a night around, and It's been really fun. I saw like Mark Stein had a newsletter about how the NBA hasn't been fun this year, and I was like, I don't know. Disagree about that.
Picking the wrong games.
Yeah, like, yeah, I mean, I think a lot of big name teams have not been fun, but like, the Suns have been fun, and like, we're going to disrespect the Suns because they should not be good. And you know, I get that, like, they've been bad for so long that they, like, any good team, they're going to rally behind that, and they're like, we're good. But one, it's not going to last, at least at this level. And two, like, they really need to get more pieces in place. Like, before they try to make a push for mediocrity. Like, I can see them very much being like the Heat of a few years ago, where like they have one decent season and then overload on mediocrity, or like the Kings did last year, where it's like 1 year of decent success is like, oh, we're going to sign all these guys to extensive deals. And then you get Aaron Baines making like $20 million a year until 2024, which, like, props to Aaron Baines, because dude is awesome. Like,
dude, he's really good.
We stand for Aaron Baines. Like, that dude is a menace. But, like, the last thing the Suns need is to win 42 games and be the ninth seed and then start paying all these veterans, like, lots of money. But they're good. Like, the Clippers lost them. It doesn't look that bad right now.
No, it doesn't. And they just knocked out Philly, which is the best team in the NBA.
Yeah.
Without Embiid, but still. And, look, I'm willing to grant the Suns their status as a young, you know, up and coming borderline playoff team, maybe even a playoff, you know, they're certainly on their way to making the playoffs, you know, 2 weeks into the season. But here's why I'm disrespecting them. Okay, it's the ultimate test of a fan base, of a bad team, what happens when their team becomes good. And I'm not the fan police. I'm not the fan police. Rob, am I the fan police?
No. No. Not at all.
But the Suns fans, once that team becomes good, they totally become Utah Jazz fans.
And nobody likes Utah Jazz fans.
And look, you get a little bit of gas, and suddenly, you know, you think you're driving a Mustang. Look, the we've all been through it, but
yep.
I'd like the Suns fans to enjoy this moment and remember who they are, and not descend into Utah Jazz fandom, because that can happen. Like that, you know, you just don't see it coming. You have to stay humble.
Oh yeah, no. If the Knicks
are defensive, the people compliment Devin Booker, and people are like, you didn't compliment him last year. He wasn't this good last year. He wasn't doing this stuff last year.
Yeah, did you see like, this stuff with Zach Lowe?
The narrative on him has always been false. Like, how can you say that though?
Yeah, like Zach Lowe tweeted something about like how he's been like super good this year, and all these Suns fans were in his mentions like, you knocked him last year. It's like Zach Lowe, to my knowledge, like I'm not like a super fan or anything. I listen to like a decent amount of his podcasts and read most of his stuff. It's like, I think Zach Lowe has been like a fairly big Booker fan for like a national media member. And all these Suns fans are like just hopping in with all these receipts. And it's like, you guys need to calm down, like way down. He's been really good this year. Like just take the props. Like Booker looks awesome. Like,
yeah,
he looks like he's on track to be an all-star. Maybe like all NBA, like he looks fantastic, but like,
whoa.
I think he could
settle down, Mike Smith.
He probably won't get there this year, but like, he looks really good, and he's trying on defense, which is cool. And like,
watch, like, I mean, watching him defend guys against Philly, that was like fun, and like he got whistled for a couple of like touchy fouls, and he was like pissed. It's like, yeah, dude, this is what happens to everyone else when they guard you. Like, look, I'm with Zach Lowe. I have enjoyed watching Devin Booker play because I just like his. I think he has game. You know, he can score, and I like guys that can score points. I don't really care so much for efficiency. You know, that's not my number one thing. He's a creative offensive player. He can do a lot of things. You know, he can score different ways. I think it's hilarious that he scored 70 points once.
Against the Celtics too.
Yeah, against the Celtics. And yeah, I just look like, how can you say, oh, the narrative on him has been like, you know, has been false or whatever, when he got 70 points in a game that like his coach was fouling the other team intentionally to get Devin Booker more possessions in the last 2 minutes. Like, he earned this reputation, and now he's working it off, and that's good.
So, yeah.
It is what it is.
No, it's like that was like shades of like Ricky Pierce there, you know. It's just yeah, the fan base when you switch from, and the Clippers didn't really see this very much, but I mean, it was also like Lob City was when I was still like on blogs, not necessarily on social media. So things have probably changed since then, but like I'm sure there were a bunch of Clippers fans who got like super annoying when the Clippers got good when Chris Paul came over. But yeah, like some fans just don't become Jazz fans. One Jazz fan base is bad enough.
There wasn't a Clipper Twitter in 2011.
Yeah. I mean, there really isn't that much of a Clippers Twitter now.
The Clipper Twitter, right, exactly. The Clipper Twitter in 2011 was people who just hated the Lakers, like, banding together over an immense moment. And,
And supporting Jamal Lamoon.
I was going to mention this earlier about the load management thing. The Clippers had the best starting lineup in the NBA for like 5 years.
Yeah.
And they just dominated regular seasons and they killed weaker opponents. And it was really fun. And what I will come away with from those years, which the team never even made a conference finals, was just any weeknight between November and April, you could throw on the Clippers and just see something spectacular. And that's what you miss out. You know, every time Kawhi sits, it's just another game where he isn't going off for like 17 in the fourth quarter, you know, just killing guys from the mid range. And
yeah,
it's fine. It's fine. Okay. We're also taking a quick detour here to disrespect the Golden State Warriors.
And they suck.
We got to do one team. But I just need to do a heat check, okay? we can hate this team on principle just a little bit longer. They're in this new arena.
They're charging people like $800 for tickets.
They're trash. They're tanking, and no.
They suck.
No. Okay.
Eric Pascal is going off for them, dude.
I don't want to hear about it. I just don't.
They're still getting a lot of coverage, which is also like kind of, I don't know if it's irritating. Like, they're a big market. I mean, more than they probably should, considering they're like dreadful and all their best players.
They're the worst team in the NBA.
They probably will be. Yeah, I'd say.
Or maybe, Sacramento or something?
Sacramento's looking real rough. Who else is bad? I mean, the Cavs are pretty bad. The Hornets are somehow decent, which is hilarious. The Wizards are pretty bad.
Devontae Graham, we both have to eat crow on our guys. Brandon Ingram went for 40 last night. Devontae Graham went for 35 off the bench tonight.
I'm sticking to my guns.
Okay.
I'm gonna say the things will turn for Brandon Ingram, and the Pelicans are not winning. I'm not gonna be one of those, you know, good stats bad team guys, because Ingram does look very impressive. But like, the Pelicans are losing, and their defense is disgusting. Like, it's awful, and he's not contributing that much on that end. So we'll see. I still don't really like his game, but I mean, there's no denying how effective he's been thus far. Devontae Graham's been killing it. Like, I just, that cannot hold. Maybe it will hold up. I don't know. Who knows? But yeah, the Warriors are not good. And I love my guy Jordan Poole, but watching Jordan Poole be like the second best offensive player on an NBA team in his rookie season is truly devastating. It would be sad to watch if it was any team but the Warriors, but because it's the Warriors, it's fantastic. Like, I could watch them like brick 18-footers and run like Jordan Poole, you know, Eric Pascal pick and rolls for the next 80 games and be very satisfied with it. But if we have to give props to anybody, we have to give props to Tyrone Wallace.
Yeah, some of the Warriors could use right now.
He would be the best player on their team.
yeah.
Yeah. I still can't believe the Wolves cut him. Like, I don't know, like, they're keeping worse players on the roster than Ty Wallace. Because, I mean, there is no team in the NBA that he wouldn't be, like, a good 10th man for. Except, like, maybe the Clippers.
The Clippers could use him.
Like, if they, like, on nights when Kawhi is load managing, like, tomorrow, like, they're probably going to play Jerome Robinson and Terrence Mann. Like, I would be so much happier if Ty Wallace was out there than either one of those guys.
Yeah, like, there's units where the Clippers will just have, like, it'll seem like Mo Harkless has the ball a little bit too much.
Oh, yeah.
And, like, Ty Wallace is good in those situations of just moving the ball from Mo Harkless's hands to someone else's. And, like, that was the one thing I really liked about him is, like, he would bring the ball up. You know, they would cross half court with like 20 seconds left in the shot clock and they'd run a full offensive possession.
He just,
and sometimes the Clippers are playing really slow this year, which I think is fine, I guess. But, yeah, in lieu of defending, they're just playing really slow.
Yeah, I mean, their defense is not good, but they're dragging these games to a crawl. I mean, I think it suits Kawhi's game pretty well.
Yeah. But
it's not the most entertaining brand of basketball.
Yeah. It's definitely a far cry from – even, like, Chris Paul would bring the ball up, like, and you'd always cross half court at, like, the 17-second mark. It's infuriating.
Yeah.
When that team are in transition, they could do shit.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. They knew when to push the pace. Like, when they had an advantage, they would just – I mean, you just give it to Blake in the open court, and it was just game over, basically, for a few years. But, yeah, Ty Wallace has been pretty good with the Hawks. He's played in the past three or four games for them, I think. Clippers legend Ty Wallace. He got some playing time when Trae Young was out. Played 6 minutes tonight, even with Young back. Didn't play in the second half. Should play in the second half because he's good, and I miss him. And wish him the best in Atlanta.
He just find a situation that they're going to let him play. I mean, the Clippers played him like 30 minutes a game a couple years ago.
Yeah.
And then like the following year, they're like, who is this guy? We've never seen him before. And played him like 12.
Yeah.
I don't know. Maybe there's something else there, you know?
I mean, he still seems tight with all the Clippers, just judging my Instagram, like, they're always popping up on his Instagram posts, and like you see him on some of theirs sometimes. So I don't think it was like a personal thing. I wonder if like the coaching staff just didn't like him for some reason.
In Minnesota, that, you know, people were posting pictures of him like getting shots up after practice every day. There's no question he's working hard, whatever.
Yeah. Also, former Clipper Shai Gilgeous-Alexander looks fantastic. Yeah. He dropped a move on Terrence Ross tonight that was out of this world. And
was it nicer than Trae Young's move?
Trae Young's was overly extravagant.
It was so funny.
LaMarcus Aldridge looked real old in that clip.
Yeah.
Real old. And I like LaMarcus Aldridge. Like the only person on NBA Twitter who's like a LaMarcus Aldridge stan. Yeah, he looked pretty silly. But no, Shai is like taking a lot of threes. He's stepping into them. He's taking them off the dribble. He looks great. But we discussed this last week. It wouldn't be happening if he was on the Clippers, so it's fine. Like, you know.
Yeah.
There
was something else from the Hawks. The Hawks game was pretty – that was a really entertaining one.
Yeah.
They were up – or the Spurs were up 10, like 88, 78 or something like that. And then the Hawks scored 13 points in a row and never looked back. It was a pretty interesting game because I was excited to see DeJounte Murray versus Trae Young. And DeJounte is such a good defender, and like his arms are stretched out so wide.
Yeah, and he's crazy.
He keeps them really high too.
Yeah.
And Trae Young was abusing him. And a lot of it was bad calls. Like, I think he picked up 5 fouls in like 13 minutes of gameplay. But I'm always interested to see the best offensive players in the NBA go against the best defensive ones and see who wins. Yeah. And Trae Young destroyed him. Like, DeJounte Murray's a very good player, and his shot just wasn't falling tonight. But he was like a minus 13. DeJounte Murray is really good, and that was
awesome.
Fun to see. Earlier this week when the Spurs, or maybe it was over the weekend when the Spurs Clippers played, watching DeJounte Murray hound Patrick Beverley for 94 feet was like cool full circle on just where he'd been a couple years before when DeJounte Murray got the spot starts in the playoffs when Tony Parker went down. Yep. And Patrick Beverley like would not let him cross half court with the ball.
Yeah,
it's cool that I look forward to seeing more of those guys. There's just a ton of good young players playing really well. A lot of guys have made the quote unquote the leap in year two. And Kevin Herter is going to play a lot more now, or he's just going to have more usage now. Loving the Hawks, man. DeAndre Bembry.
I love DeAndre Bembry. I'm so happy that I like stand for him pretty hard in the draft process. I thought his numbers were really good, and he was pretty bad his first couple of years, and now he looks great, and I'm so happy. He's also just super fun to watch.
Like, yeah, he's really fun to watch. He has bounce.
Yeah. And, like, the underrated part about that Trae Young clip was, like, he made a perfect cut there.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
He saw Trae dancing and just darted in and just finished strong off. He's so good. He'd be so good on this Clippers team, but anyway.
It's cool to see Shea come back, or to see Shea turn some of his, like, herky-jerkiness into something that can produce, like, over 20 points a game. Because, like, last year it was like, man, he has so much offensive skill, but he's averaging, like, 9.5 points.
Yeah.
Sometimes it takes guys, like, 2 or 3 years – to get to that point. You know, he'll make a year-over-year improvement. So this year he'd average 13, and next year he'd average 16.5, and then he'd go to 20, and then he'd go to 24. He's at 22.5 or 23 right now.
It's wild.
It's a problem, dude. It's a problem.
It's crazy how good he looks. Like, the thing that's crazy to me is the three-point shooting, because, like, the start of last year, he did not want to take them.
Right.
Like, they would leave him open, and he'd just stand there and look at it. Sometimes it would be, like, at least 2 or 3 seconds before he'd shoot. And now he's just pulling into them. Like, he's taking them off the dribble. You know, he's shooting with no hesitation. I think he's averaging, like, 5 or 6 a game, which, I mean, I thought this year he'd average, like, you know, 4, 4.5. No, he's going to be taking – yeah, I mean, I'd say he's going to be averaging at least 5.5 a game this season. I mean, he's, what, like, 21? Like, he could be taking 7 or 8 of them a game by next year. In addition to, like, his ability to get to the rim and stuff, and his defense, he looks so good. And, I mean, the Thunder have been good the past couple games because, you know, they've been giving him the ball more. CP has looked better after, like, a real rough start to the year. Gallo looks fantastic, which is also cool because Gallo is great. It would be awesome if the Thunder were good this year. They're pretty fun to watch outside of, like, Schroeder, who is just – irritating to me on a fundamental level to watch him play. But yeah, I mean, bringing it back full circle though, like you mentioned about Young and Murray, best offensive player, best defensive player. We're going to miss out on best offensive and best defensive players when Kawhi and Giannis, two of the best at both, are not going to play against each other, which again, kind of stinks. So yeah, we're recording this one. Normally we said we'd do it after losses, but we're preempting the Clippers' probable loss to the Bucks tomorrow because
same old Clippers.
The same old Clippers losing a Wednesday night televised game to the Bucks in front of like millions of people because they're load managing their star. Not really same old Clippers, but getting destroyed on national television is as same as old Clippers as you can basically get.
All right, man. Anything to promote for you?
Not really. I'm like in that weird space where like I'm just too busy to write much. So I'm like mostly doing news things and game coverage. I was thinking of writing something about Jamichael Green, who's been like incredible for the Clippers. So we might do something about that sometime soon because he's been great. I mean, I think the interesting thing about the Clippers is like the sum of their parts doesn't always look good, but I think individually you have to be happy with almost everybody on the team outside of like Pat Beverly shooting and maybe Landry Shamet. Like, I think basically everybody else has looked at least, above expectations. Jermichael Green's been great, but no, nothing really to promote. I know you have a new newsletter out, though.
Yeah, I just put a new one out today. For listeners who don't subscribe yet, I write a newsletter about the Clippers called Unstatable, which you can find on my Twitter page at This Lewis. I wrote today about why Kawhi follows Jamal Crawford on Twitter. just totally speculative, but I think I went somewhere with it. I'm think I'm gonna do something on the Sixers this week. So just if you follow me on Twitter, you'll see it. I think the Sixers scare me, and I'm gonna write about why.
They're also fun as shit to watch.
Yeah, they are.
I think that's probably about it. So yeah, follow at This Lewis. You can follow me at Rich Homie Flom. You might already follow me. I don't really tweet all that much anymore. And a lot of it is about Shay when I'm sad and watching.
What's going on with Rich Homie Kwan?
And he's really still up. I think he's still releasing music. Every year makes my Twitter handle a little bit more dated, but I refuse to change it. I will stick with it until the end of Twitter. I think that's it. Follow Lewis, subscribe to his newsletter. It's really good. And keep an eye out for the next pod whenever the Clippers lose, which will probably be sometime in the next week or two. But with that, that's it for same old Clippers, and I'll let the awesome outro music take us out here.
Peace.
We talking about practice.
All right, go, go.
10, 5, 4, 3.
That's tomorrow, and that is it.
Be the franchise player, and we're in here talking about practice.
I can't do it.
I mean, how silly is that?
We'll do it live.
Practice?
No. We'll do it live.
Practice?
Do it live. I'll write it, and we'll do it live.
Not the game that I go out there and die for and play every game like it's my last. Five, not the game. We're talking about practice, man.
That's tomorrow, and that is it for us today. I'm Bill O'Reilly. Thanks again for watching. We'll leave you with Sting and a cut off his new album. Take it away.
I mean, how silly is that?